Welcome to a SearchITChannel.com podcast series on understanding, selling, and troubleshooting ITSM. Part one of our series with guest speaker Adele McElroy of GTSI Corp. will cover ITSM and ITIL basics. My name is Robin LaRusso, and I'll be your podcast moderator. Adele McElroy is a senior manager for cybersecurity and enterprise software for GTSI Corp. A 15-year veteran of the information technology sector, she has hands-on technical, management, and consulting expertise in both services organizations and financial services. She has also acted as information system security auditor, both for consulting clients and for a national bank. She received her bachelor's degree in mathematics and physics from the University of Miami and has held certifications as a CISSP, CISA, CBCP, and MCSE. Adele's podcast will cover ITSM process areas and how they interconnect, a history of process framework, what ITSM can and can't do, what's to come in ITIL V3. Thank you for joining us today, Adele. The floor is yours.
Thank you, Robin, and welcome everyone. As Robin explained, our objective in the podcast series is to introduce ITIL and ITSM basics as a groundwork for understanding the benefits that ITIL can provide to your organization. In podcast one, we're going to define our terminology and talk to the benefits that an ITIL implementation can provide. You may have heard of ITIL and ITSM as they're emerging as the most commonly accepted and interoperable framework for information technology management processes. If you're within the enterprise, you may be seeking options for effective IT management, including both internal and external options, and may be looking at ITIL as a way to measure performance internally and to interact in a measurable way with an external provider. If you are a provider of technology tools or services, your customers may well be asking how can you support their move to ITIL, how your services will align and interact with the ITIL framework that they intend to adopt. Regardless of your specific objective in examining ITIL as a potential framework, there are convincing financial reasons to consider it. Gartner has reported that transitioning to a full ITSM model can decrease an organization's total cost of ownership, or TCO, by as much as 48%. ITIL's benefits correspond closely to the fact that it redefines information technology from a supporting IT products mindset to a supporting IT services mindset. Traditional information technology includes a lot of firefighting, a lot of operational specific activity, whereas an ITSM framework defines services as the outcome of the information technology infrastructure and thus provides a more customer-oriented and business-oriented approach. The approach yields both quantitative and qualitative benefits. In addition to the reduced TCO we mentioned, IT best practices implementation often yields readily measured improvements in customer satisfaction, in return on investment or ROI, in reduced employee turnover, and in reduced employee training costs. Other, perhaps more abstract benefits can include better asset utilization, better employee productivity, and reduced cost of handling faults, errors, and incidents. So ITIL and ITSM have benefits, but what are ITIL and ITSM? ITSM stands for Information Technology Service Management, and it defines an approach to using information technology best practices in a coherent and very service-oriented manner. ITIL is the Information Technology Infrastructure Library. It is essentially the set of those best practices that allows for implementation of a service-oriented approach. ITIL was developed by the UK government in 1991. As a set of best practices for IT service management, and it's now internationally recognized. They wanted to create a framework that provided a common sense, structured approach to the essential processes involved in service management. Because ITIL is so process-driven, it's scalable and flexible, and it can fit any organization. When developers of ITIL introduced the first version, the library consisted of over 40 books. About 10 years later, in the late 90s, version 2 was released, which updated and revised the library and consolidated into 7 key books. In 2007, a new version, version 3, will be released to again refresh the library and in particular to provide more best practices around aligning ITIL with the business objectives. As ITIL has evolved over the past 15 years, there have been several successes, both in the public sector and in the private sector. The most publicized example is that of Procter & Gamble, who attribute nearly $125 million in IT cost savings per year to the adoption of ITIL, which constitutes nearly 10% of their annual IT budget. Similarly, Shell Oil has utilized ITIL best practices when they overhauled their global desktop PC environment of over 80,000 desktops. after the project was completed, they're now able to perform software upgrades in less than 72 hours, potentially saving them 6,000 man days and $5 million. Research commissioned by CompuWare Corporation, which is a software and services company, indicates that in the face of ongoing IT delivery problems within the public sector, 61% of those organizations have started to implement the ITIL best practice framework. In addition, IBM, Caterpillar, Boeing, the IRS, and a host of other household names have all reported great success and significant operational cost savings as a direct result of ITIL adoption. The library I mentioned consists of 7 books. ICT Infrastructure Management covers all aspects of ICT infrastructure management from the identification of business requirements to the tendering process to the testing, installation, deployment, ongoing operation, and optimization of components and IT services. The second book, Planning to Implement Service Management, examines the issues and tasks involved in planning, implementing, and improving service management processes throughout the organization. It also addresses the issues associated with addressing cultural and organizational change, the development of a vision and a strategy, and the most appropriate method of approach. The third book, Application Management, describes how to manage applications from the initial business need through all stages in the application lifecycle up to and including retirement. It places emphasis on ensuring that IT projects and strategies are tightly aligned with those of the business throughout the application lifecycle to ensure that the business obtains the best value from its investment. The fourth book, The Business Perspective, provides advice and guidance to help IT personnel to understand how they can contribute to the business objectives and how their roles and services can be better aligned and exploited to maximize that contribution. The fifth book, Security Management, details the process of planning and managing a defined level of security for information and for IT services, including all aspects associated with reaction to security incidents. It also includes the assessment and management of risks and vulnerabilities and the implementation of cost-justifiable countermeasures. The sixth book is Service Delivery. It covers the processes required for the planning and delivery of quality IT services and looks at the longer-term processes associated with improving quality of IT services. And the seventh book is Service Support, which describes the processes associated with the day-to-day support and maintenance activities associated with the provision of IT services. The last two of these books, Service Delivery, which is sometimes called the Red Book, and Service Support, which is sometimes called the Blue Book, are what comprise the majority of best practices for IT infrastructure processes. These two books form the framework for managing complex IT infrastructures in the best possible manner. Along with the portions of the Security Management book, they're the basis for certifications on ITIL fundamentals that so many folks are looking for these days, and I'll speak to that program in a few minutes. So Service Delivery and Service Support are really the heart of ITIL. There are 5 infrastructure processes associated with each of those two books. Within Service Delivery, we have Service Level Management, Financial Management, Availability Management, Capacity Management, and Service Continuity Management. Within Service Support, we have Incident Management, Problem Management, Configuration Management, Change Management, and Release Management. The process of Security Management, which I mentioned is in one of the other books, is closely associated with Service Delivery, even though Security is not one of its 5 processes. The reason Security is grouped in with Service Delivery is because of the close tie-in of Security to Availability Management. One of the primary charters of Availability Management is to ensure that data, programs, systems, and networks are up and accessible to authorized users. There's a similar anomaly with the Service Desk. The Service Desk is not a process in and of itself. It's actually a function within an organization. It's a box in an org chart, staffed with people who are trained, developed, and reviewed for performance. So as a function, it differs from a service support process. But the function of the Service Desk is so closely integral to the process of services support that the two are very closely entwined. And the certification also requires knowledge of service delivery, service support, security management, and the Service Desk. There are 4 key ways that you can distinguish the categorization of service delivery from service support. The first one is the human interface. In ITIL language, users are the individuals who use IT services day in and day out, while customers are typically the managers of those users. Customers negotiate costs, they negotiate service levels, and the time frames for services to be delivered in. Users focus on the daily operation and function of the services provided. For service delivery, the interface is known as customer-facing because delivery processes like service level management and financial management primarily involve customers. Service support is referred to as user-facing because services like incident management relate very closely to interaction with the daily user. second and third distinguishing factors are process focus and planning horizon, which go hand in hand. Again, using Agile terminology, service processes are said to be tactical, which is thought of as activities that have a weekly or monthly time frame, and service support processes are described as operational. In this case, operational is thought of as activities that occur on an hourly or a daily basis. Finally, the fourth factor that distinguishes service delivery from service support refers to the primary responsibilities of service delivery versus service support. For service delivery, the responsibilities include things like accounting, finances, and managing availability. For service support, responsibilities include things like tracking incidents, restoring service back to normal levels, and authorizing changes. All of these characteristics combine to distinguish service delivery from service support. The reason it's important to know and understand the differences is they can play an important role when deciding how to go about implementing ITIL and how much to start with. If tactical management-oriented issues are more pressing need, then you may want to start with service delivery. If improvements in day-to-day resolving of incidents and problems are more of a concern, then implementing service support processes may be your starting point. Some experts recommend that you should implement all 10 processes together, but in reality, most people find that implementing the ITIL processes in phases is a much more realistic approach. So we'll touch a moment on a final item within the ITIL model, the service desk. As I mentioned, the service desk is not a process, but a function in the org chart. The service desk function describes the best practices for establishing and managing a central point of contact for users of IT services. Two of the service desk's most important responsibilities are monitoring incidents and communicating with users. The service desk incorporates the traditional user-facing responsibilities of an IT help desk, but it also takes on additional responsibilities and roles in a fully ITIL-oriented framework. So we've covered the framework of ITIL. How does adoption usually work? Building the ITIL processes is not something that happens overnight. First, you build the model around the vision and objectives you have for the IT organization. Then you identify the processes that are going to be required to allow you to reach the goals. You outline the procedures and the activities within those processes. And then finally, you create the detailed instructions for all the things that have to happen. Each step in that process has its own information gathering requirements and its own analysis. And the objective is to design and build manageable processes that deliver and are very clearly mapped to the expectations of the vision. The ITIL adoption project typically builds up in four levels. At level one, you see process interactions. What are the processes that will be required? How will they interact? What are the dependencies between them? And what other parts of the organization will be affected? In level two, you look at the individual activities and functions that will happen within that process. At level three, you break that down into a further level of detail. And then level of four are individual instructions called work level instructions, or WLIs, which are the specific step-by-step directions for each of those actions. So with that, we've covered the basics of the ITIL and the ITSM framework, but I did want to briefly cover the individual certifications that are available. There are three levels of certification available for individuals who are interested in building and demonstrating their ITIL knowledge. The first level is the foundation level. It requires a basic understanding of the ITIL service support and service delivery sets and some appreciation of the additional core material. The second level is practitioner level. A practitioner is a specialist in the design and execution of processes, and the examination for that focuses on the understanding and application of a specific bundle or subset of closely associated processes. The highest level is the IT service manager level. The service manager is often responsible for the setup and implementation of ITIL in an organization. They're very experienced professionals and are typically involved in managing service management projects. So I hope the podcast has provided a good groundwork for understanding ITIL and what it can do. It offers a wealth of benefits to both public sector and private sector organizations. From cost savings to increased customer satisfaction, benefits can align very closely with business drivers and mission. In the next podcast in this series, we'll talk in more detail about service support. Processes such as incident management and change management are frequently the first processes that an organization is able to adapt into an ITIL framework and the first that can achieve tangible benefits. With that, I'll turn it over to Robin.
Thank you, Adele. That was a great introduction to ITSM and ITIL. That will conclude today's podcast with Adele McElroy. If you have any questions for Adele, you may email editor@searchitchannel.com and we will forward your questions to her. We'll post her answers in a special feature on searchitchannel.com. Please stay tuned for part two of our ITSM podcast series covering ITSM support services. Final thanks to our guest speaker, Adele McElroy, and thank you all so much for joining us today.